Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee. And on this week's show, back again, we have Sally Patton. With an Ed M in Child Study, Sally's professional experience on advocating for children and also parenting an atypical child provides deep insight into the wounding patriarchal conditioning that has had on relationships between mothers and children, especially between mothers and daughters. Sally offers personal mentoring and workshops with a focus on healing our own sacred wounds, leading to an empowered awareness of the inner divine sovereign self, which heals all relationships between men and women and our children. Sally draws upon channeled non-dual teachings from Yeshua, Jesus, and Mother Mary, combined with a variety of teachings from many faith traditions and spiritual paths to answer a unique call to be an emissionee of divine feminine compassionate consciousness. The Holy Mother has returned to heal into wholeness the division between feminine and masculine energies, necessary to end thousands of years of patriarchal domination. Sally helps women waken to the strength of the mother within, embracing the sacredness of all life on Mother Earth. We discuss in this show the mother-daughter wounding that runs deep, even from ancestral lineage, and how it's important to perform our inner work of healing ourselves so that we do not pass on our wounds or negative karma to the next generation of our daughters, granddaughters, or sons. Sally, welcome back again to the Great Awakening Show.
Thank you, Joanne. I am so pleased to be here again.
Oh, it's so lovely to have you here. And this subject that we are talking about today is so important. And as you said, not many people understand it or even talk about it. So it's the mother-daughter wound. Sally, please explain what the mother-daughter wound is.
Yes, and I wish there was a very simple explanation. However, it requires a little going back into realizing that when thousands of years ago, when patriarchy started to be more prevalent, there was a concerted effort by organized religions, mostly Christian, and but patriarchy obviously affected us worldwide. So in order for, and I consider patriarchy a tool of separation consciousness, and in order for patriarchy to succeed, the divine feminine energy had to be suppressed. That's why we ended up with believing that God was only the father. And even though you can't get rid of the mother God, in separation consciousness, we tried our best to do that. And I discovered when I was writing the book, when my daughter came to me and wanted to talk about how she felt I had let her down when she was growing up, how I didn't hug her after she was a certain age and all of this kind of stuff. And I was so astonished because I loved her so much, but she was right. I had, through my matrilineal line, been conditioned to do certain things with children. And even though I loved her so much, yes, the physical hugs and stuff disappeared. So the mother-daughter wound comes from this patriarchal conditioning that has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. And the women, in order for patriarchy to succeed, the power over paradigm to succeed, the women's feminine energy had to be violently suppressed. And it was violent, very violent. And a lot of us know about the burning times of women, and
the Inquisition, we know about the Inquisition over the like Inquisition. 5 million women, herbalists, and midwives, and normal women were. It was terrible.
Yes, it was. And a lot of us who are women now during this very pivotal time in the world's transformation, remember cellularly, we remember those times. We remember being oppressed and suppressed violently. And we also, though, remember the times when Mother God was worshiped with the Father God. So it was the Mother Father God. And the Mother God was the creation energy that had to be suppressed in order for patriarchy to take over. And I do thoroughly believe that this agreement for us to go through this patriarchal stuff
Yeah.
was agreed to at the soul level.
So are you saying, Sally, in the beginning it was the mother and the father, right? It was both together because in Genesis, Elohim is plural for God, goddess, yeah, that made man and woman. So, and then what happened was the goddess took over. Yeah, it became the feminine, yeah, and men loved the goddess religion, and there was peace and everything, but that's also one-sided, yeah. And so, and then after that, the god, the male god took over and patriarchy came. So now we're coming into unity consciousness, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. And the thing that happened when the male god took over is it became a very vengeful authoritarian god. I mean,
Yes,
we all of
fearful.
know about the Old Testament and all of the stuff that God did, that the God that we created did, that
Yeah,
we
man
know,
created, that man created fear and
man
hell
created it.
and yeah.
And we know now within our hearts that God never would do that, punish people. But that was part of the movement to colonization, to taking over the world and suppressing the Earth Mother, and all of that stuff had to be done. And so, in order for patriarchy to succeed, but what we w agreed to at a soul level is that it was time for men to descend into their hearts. That the positive masculine energy is about clarity of purpose. It's about pure source light. It's about protection. However, the mother face of God was providing the nurturing and the love and the creation. The two are needed, both those two are needed together in order to manifest. However, for the power over paradigm to succeed, men had to lose all of their feelings. I mean, we've taught our children not to feel, both
Yes,
boys and
not to
girls.
cry, not to cry, not to feel, not to express love.
And of course, they had to lose that ability to feel in order to fight the wars. I mean, you can't fight a war if you are really sensitive and feeling into your heart.
Yes.
So that's why I had a conversation with a man that I thought was very interesting because he had always considered himself a sensitive. And he's just now beginning to realize how to access his feelings because they were so suppressed in boys. And what I discovered after all thousands of years of this kind of oppression of the feminine energy and essence is that women became the primary purveyors of patriarchal conditioning. And when that is applied to our daughters more so than our sons or our trans children, or is that they felt they were betrayed by their mothers. because often they had these own feelings of wisdom and creation and that wild, chaotic creation and the feelings and so forth. And yet, if something happened, the mothers always wanted them to be strong. We always wanted them to be fierce so that they could not be hurt by the men. We face the, you know, this is how victimhood started. Be hurt by the men out there, because it could be very scary. It's, if you're in the middle of a city and it's dark, all women know not to walk down the street by themselves.
Yes.
And that's the kind of thing that feels like betrayal to our daughters.
Yes.
And I didn't really understand any of this because I, you know, I grew up with a mother who loved me also, but she didn't hug me. And we never talked about feelings. And so I just transferred that to my daughter.
Yes.
And it's time now that we end this.
Yes, definitely.
It's time now that women take back their feminine, wise, intuitive nature, and it's time we stop feeling victims.
Definitely.
And yes, we can do that. And in fact, I think that's a lot of what the Me Too movement was about.
Definitely.
Standing up for ourselves finally.
And this has affected, this wound that we have carried travels down the lineage. It travels
Later
down
in
the
your
ancestral
life.
Lineage. It travels down. And if we don't heal it within us, then we pass it on. This
yes.
is why, you know, it's, you know, it's just so, I just want to read just a little paragraph of my book that I've just been writing. For daughters, our mother is the first relationship that determines our future relationships, or may, with ourselves, our family, friends, partners, and our children. Our mother helps us discover our identity, self-worth, self-esteem, and also our femininity, power, and our role as a woman. If a mother is loving and nurturing and hugs us, yeah, and has practiced some inner work of letting go of fear, ego, and unworthiness, and comes from her heart, her daughter can learn by example from her and have a positive, strong self-identity and embody her goddess light within. However, if a mother's negative issues and wounding life experiences prove too overwhelming and are never healed, or she carries deep ancestral karma passed down from her mother's wounded lineage, and she cannot give to herself or to others, then this travels on to the next generation and detrimentally affects our daughters and our girls, developing into negative self-esteem, depression, aggressive behavior, victimhood, as you said, and searching outside of themselves for happiness and wanting others, mainly men, to affirm their worth in the world. And this is why, is it not, that doing this inner work and stopping it, becoming the zero point, doing it, not passing it along, is absolutely vital, because we heal the women, we heal the world, because we're the ones who are bringing up the next generation.
Yes, absolutely. That was beautifully written. Thank you for reading that. So my journey is still, actually, my journey is still working with my daughter, Sarah.
Yes.
I mean, we've both experienced grief through the loss of my husband and her dad, and that's brought up even more stuff to heal. But I have to say, what's happening is we're learning to be authentic, totally honest and authentic with each other. And that's actually been difficult for me as a mother, because I believed that I needed to always be calm, always be strong, always be the one that would forge forth and make sure everything was okay. And that's not what she wants from a mother anymore, although parts of her do, but most of her doesn't. And I'm having to learn learned to let go of all of those automatic responses I have as a mother, to and caretaker at.
Yeah, to show her your vulnerable self, to show her all sides of yourself. So that,
yes,
you know, to show her everything, to see, let us see you cry, let us see you be angry, let us see you, all of that, you know, that dark goddess and the white goddess coming up, you know, and let us see you from all sides. Because I think then our children, they become, if they see that from their parents, because that's all we've got to give is of our true self. And if we can show them that, then they become whole people.
Yes,
or
they
healed
do.
people. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, you know, I'm obviously a lot older than you are, and my daughter's probably about the same age as you are. I don't know for sure, but
I'm 55.
Oh, okay. She's younger. She is younger. Wow, you do not look 55, I must say. You look gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
So do you have a daughter yourself?
I have three daughters, one son.
Wow. So that's why you're so into this right now.
Yeah.
That's so wonderful. I love hearing about women that realize this and are raising their daughters differently. It's really
And that's what
wonderful.
I've learned. I've learned because so many people just give money to their children. They don't give themselves. And children don't want that. They want to listen to your stories. They want to see you vulnerable. They want you to tell them your life. It's like my mother, she never told me anything about her life. I don't know anything about my mother's early life. She's never told me anything. My father will sit down, have a drink and tell you everything. You know, he's really come out of himself. But that's sad that she's going to die and I don't know her.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we were very successfully suppressed.
I think your age group has been really, because you came out of that sort of the 50s when, you know, women, you only just got the vote and, you know, you couldn't speak up and there weren't tools in the internet and you didn't know how to, you know, look at what we have these days to help us.
Yes. And I've been really heartened by a lot of the women my daughter's age and also your age, because I realize that we are doing our work. We are going inward and we are healing ourselves. And that's something that we don't see in the regular news. We don't see that in the, you know, all of the trauma and stuff that they like to report out there. We don't see all the underground stuff that is happening to heal the world. And I truly believe that women need to do this work first, because then it'll free the men to be able to do their own. When we stop caretaking the men's egos, then, because we finally healed ourselves and are authentic to ourselves, then that frees the men.
That is so true. Yes, that is so true, because it sets them free. It sets them free to be their true self, you know, and to speak and be, and for them to be vulnerable, because we all have the feminine and masculine within. And the woman, you know, we've got that softer side, but we've also got the masculine side, the assertiveness, you know, and to take the leadership and to have that balance between the two sides. And that's what the men have to do. They have to have become more divine feminine and nurture that side of them, you know.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet, mix with water, and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives, just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living. A people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yes, and when we do it for ourselves, we model it for them also. And remember, I mean, one of the ways I look at it, especially for men who are still really acting out in harmful ways, is that when we tried to suppress the mother face of God, it's like the men lost their mother also. You know, we all lost our mother. However, women still retained within them knowledge of that, whether it was suppressed or not. We retained more of that knowledge of the mother love. But what happened is when we divided everything between bodies, the men started looking to women to provide that loss that they were feeling in their hearts. And when women couldn't provide for that loss because we are hurting ourselves, then it could become violent. It could become toxic. It's like a 3-year-old having a tantrum because they've lost their mother of some sort. So,
wow.
I will confess that I've had a whole lot of anger with men for a lot of my life. And this healing, this mother-daughter wound has freed me to be a lot more compassionate with men.
Yeah, that's just absolutely beautiful. And this goes on to this question, how does this wound affect our relationships with our sons? You know, my relationship with my son is so, I don't know, we have such strong bond. And, yes, and it's really strong. But, you know, because that's why, how does that wound affect the relationship with our sons?
Well, you know, I think my answer is sort of more based on sort of my wisdom than what I have felt with my son, because my son was an indigo child, and he was just born more aware, born more sensitive.
Wow.
And he also, and a lot of the indigo children that came in during the 80s, they were then considered special needs children because they came in so much more right-brained, and we are living a left-brained, logical, rational culture. Mm. And so my relationship with him was more about getting him out of the public school system into a system, because he's dyslexic, into a system that would nurture him, right? So our bond is much, much different from Sarah's and my daughter Sarah's. And in many ways, it actually contributed to her feeling like she'd been abandoned, because so much of my time and attention was on Tyler, helping him through a school system that could be very harmful. And she learned early that she just needed to take care of herself. She thought the best way that she could help mommy and daddy was to be sure that she was a top student, and then she learned that she couldn't have any of her needs met as a result. So my relationship with my son is somewhat different, but I truly believe that we also taught our sons, because if I look at friends of mine and so forth, we taught our sons to be strong, to be protective of the women. And I didn't do this with my son, but I know plenty of mothers did who said, you know, you have to man up, you know, that whole thing about manning up and being responsible. And that meant we didn't really teach them how to access their feelings either.
That's right. Not to show emotion. They couldn't express their emotions.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I must say, I am grateful that actually Tyler was the way he was, because neither my husband or I ever told him not to express his emotions. But oddly enough, we expected Sarah to be very strong as a result. So that just fed into her feeling like she had been abandoned.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why it is just, I keep saying it, but it's really so important, you know, to identify, because it, you know, I can see in my mother and father, they weren't shown love from their parents. Yes. So they, to me, could never tell me they love me. And I really acted out, and I went and done terrible things, and, you know, whatever. And I traveled far off places from, you know, and what I put them through. But they never told me that they loved me. And I just wanted them to say it, you know. And I remember shouting at them one time, "You never told me you loved me." And they were like, "Oh, but we do. We love you so much." It was the first time they'd ever said it. And I was like 23 or something like that. And because they weren't shown it, they weren't told. And that's why we break the cycle. It stops. It stops with me. It stops so that, you know, now my children, I tell them all the time, I set boundaries because I want them to be a wonderful, whole, you know, beautiful, and no right from wrong. But I give them so much love, and I allow them to express and be who they are. You know, it's so important. Yeah, that love. Yeah. We have to change. We have to change it. We have to stop it. You know, because when you awaken, it's our responsibility to change the dynamic. Because when we do that, I truly believe that not only do we heal us and we heal our future generations, but we heal our ancestors who are in spirit.
Yes, that's very true. Goes both directions. Yeah. And one of the things that women are still playing out is that the archetypes, the feminine archetypes, can be positive or they can be fractured. And we've been living under fractured archetypes for thousands of years. You know, we're either the rebel heretic, or we're the obedient woman, wife, obedient woman, or we're the whore or the temptress.
Yes.
Those were the three roles that we were supposed to play out. And being the rebel and the is I really love that role, but it is a role which can be dangerous, really, really dangerous, to be a heretic and a rebel, to return to our wild wisdom ways, to return to, as you said, the herbalists, to the people, to the women who knew how to be with Mother Earth and how to nurture all of our, all creations that are part of Mother Earth. We once could do that, but that was what had to be violently suppressed. And so when we begin to return to that and heal ourselves, then we return to being able to heal the earth, and we return to having love for all of the relations and for everybody. That means people of all color. It means everybody, because
exactly.
the world is embraced by the Mother God.
That's the goddess energy. And yeah. I wrote this in my book. I believe that the burning times, if you like, the Inquisition. Before that, our ancestors, the goddesses before us, they had balance between the white goddess and the dark goddess within. Yeah. And they embraced both sides of that. Yeah. So when it needed the mother to be strong and say no, or to be that protection, yeah, for their children, then they would come out and they would say no to any man. They would not be the victim, yeah, which is the Kali goddess, which is the dark goddess, or the goddess that takes her passion and expresses her sensuality. That is part of being the dark goddess, yeah? But when, you know, as well as being the virginal, beautiful, passive white goddess, but when the burning times, they really took that dark goddess away. And then Mother Mary came in through Christianity, and everyone just started becoming, the women became the virginal Mother Mary goddess, and the dark goddess was lost. That's why they couldn't, you know, for many years, women could not speak up. They couldn't express their passion. They couldn't become divine, because only priests, there was only male priests in the church, you know, women, their divinity was taken away from them. And now I believe this time of the Great Awakening, our voice, our soul voice that has been so repressed for so many years is coming back, and we are merging the dark goddess and the light goddess, the balance, you know.
Yes.
Because as you said before, that's the feminine and masculine. That's the dark and the light. That's how we manifest the new world, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You have to have both. And one of the things that about the dark goddess is that with all of this suppression of the feminine energy for so many years, is we suppressed our anger.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was really good at shoving it down and shoving it down, and I kept shoving it down. And there's not any woman that is my age that grew up in the 50s has had plenty of trauma associated with men. It doesn't matter. I mean, I was lucky I didn't get raped twice. There was tons of stuff, you know, you lose jobs, you to men, all of that kind of stuff that we were asked to just tamp down. It means that there are a lot of angry women out there, lot of angry women. And we don't know what to do with the anger, because we were taught that as a woman, being angry was not feminine. Mm-hmm. And we were supposed to always be this selfless, nurturing person.
Mm-hmm.
And part of my journey that I write about in the book is allowing that anger to come up. And I have been angry in front of my daughter now. In fact, yeah. She's grateful. And I learned, that was when Kali Ma came to me, because I had so much anger. And what she said to me was, take some swords and chop off heads. I mean, really, that's what she told me to do.
I had to move it through the body.
Yeah. I'm still moving it through the body. I still get angry, but I am learning not to tamp it down anymore.
And you can channel that energy into positive releasing, places. Because I believe a lot of, if women, younger women that are menstruating, if they don't channel that through that month, if they don't channel that energy, that negativity that they're feeling, if they don't channel it into positivity, then it's going to come out with really bad PMS at the end. And it's the same with menopause. If you don't channel that negativity, that's going to you're going to have a few years of not a very good menopausal transition. So
absolutely true. We were not made to suffer.
Yes.
But women do. We do suffer. We get painful cramps. Childbirth can be very painful. The whole thing. And there's I still hear people say that menstruation is a curse. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were taught that it was a curse. We were taught that our blood was dirty. That's why we had to be separated. We were taught to really dislike our body. And so this whole mother-daughter wound is healing all of that. Have our daughters and our granddaughters learn to just love themselves, their That's body, and all of it that is so beautiful.
That's right.
And
the menstruation is our most psychic time. It's our most spiritual time of the month. It's where the veil is thin between the spiritual and the physical. It's the it's your moon blood, your rhythms. It's a beautiful time.
And we were taught, you think about it, we created this calendar to fit into linear time and to make sure we have 12 months and all of this sort of stuff, but it doesn't follow the rhythm of the earth.
And
it
doesn't. But look at the lunar calendar, the true lunar calendar of the divine feminine, which has been going for thousands and thousands of years. Women used to menstruate with the moon, and they used to every 28 days. So that is the true lunar calendar. 13 months, 28 days, 28 days. There's only 28 days, all the same, and one crossover day. Yeah. This is the true lunar. And then the patriarchal Romans, and then the bishops, turned it into the Gregorian calendar, having all these leap years and all these bits out of the, it's ridiculous. Totally out of sync with Mother Earth and the cosmos.
Yes, absolutely. And we're still doing it with daylight savings time and so forth, which is when I was a mother of young children, I figured that they only did the daylight savings time to make it miserable for mothers because babies don't follow the rigidness and have to, how do you tell a baby that, okay, today you can't wake up an hour earlier because it's way too early for mom to wake up. So
it's so bad. Do you know what, Sally? I really believe that in these coming years, we're going to go, as this great awakening goes on, I don't know how many years, but we will go back to the lunar calendar because that's the true calendar of the cosmos.
Yes. Yeah. Linear time. We made it up in order to. Yeah. Yeah.
And but why is it so important? The wound, this mother-daughter wound. Yeah. Why is it so important to heal this wound for our own spiritual journey?
Well, I'll give an example. I had a friend, a spiritual sister, who had and this happens, you can have very toxic mothers because of conditioning they've received. And she had a very toxic mother that was very self-centered and so forth. And so she learned that feminine energy was bad, was because it was hurting her. That's how she interpreted it. So when I was talking to her about how we need the divine feminine back again to balance with the masculine. She thought I was separating. And she also said, and she also could not even believe that feminine energy could be loving. And and she developed cancer and she died. I mean, all that toxicity,
yes,
eventually affects women's health.
It does.
It affects our ability to even love ourselves. You know, that's where it starts, self-love, loving, yes, ourselves first. And if we do not heal this wound, a lot of women end up very toxic.
Yes.
And they also end up hurting themselves.
That's right. And if they don't, if they keep repressing the anger, the hurt, if they don't express their feelings and cry and be vulnerable or cry out like Carly, I've had enough. You're not treating me like this anymore. If they keep repressing it, keep repressing, then that will manifest, because that will manifest as a, in the physical body as a problem.
Yes. And not only does it affect our daughters, it affects all of our children.
Yes.
And it's... because that kind of toxic anger that is eating a lot of women up, still eating a lot of women up, that obviously gets expressed to their children, no matter what.
It does. Because we're the ones who hold the family together.
Yes.
And it's, yes, our energy. Children can pick up on that energy. So it's our responsibility to raise our vibration and to feel that, you know, and to do that work, to clear that toxic energy away, you know, so that our children can be in that good energy as they grow up.
And one of the things I think is important to for women to realize who are doing this work is that a lot of us have just been slightly depressed most of our lives. And one of the ways we can come out of it is to treat depression as a gift. If we treat it as a gift, then we will be able to go inside. But if we're treating depression as something that has to be solved with drugs or this or whatever, then we will never get the gift of depression, which is basically opening us up, opening us to feel and opening us up to finally,
yeah,
follow our own wisdom and our own voice and our, and to follow, even though it is really tough to go through the dark night of the soul. The dark night of the soul is very much a space, liminal space, where there are so many possibilities. And that's what we can do if we treat depression as a gift rather than a disease that has to be fixed.
It's not a disease. You can get a pill for grief. I mean, there is no pill for grief. It's ridiculous. They've got a pill for everything. You know, they've got a pill for spiritual awakening. You know, it's like, no, you don't need the pill. It's waking you up. This has come to you for as a tool for you to go within, to get to know thyself, to heal, yes, thyself. You know,
and to love you are yourself.
To love thyself, because you are the only one who can do that. No one else can save you. Just like Mary Magdalene's gospel, only we can save ourselves. You know, we can go to a therapist or someone, you know, a holistic person, or, you know, yogini yourself, and we can help you with some tools that help you recognize your higher self to heal yourself.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And that is absolutely so important, because that's what it all boils down to. You know, loving ourselves, forgiving ourselves, nurturing ourselves. We can pass that down to our daughters.
And, you know, there are certain things you can do. I know that I have a doll that I couldn't, I bought it when I was an adult. I couldn't figure out why I bought it. But then when I got it home, I looked at it and I thought, oh my God, this looks like I did at 5 years old. I had glasses, I had blonde hair, and I always had my face in a book. That's what this doll had. It was holding a book with blonde hair and glasses and so forth. And one of the things I did for a while is I just, whenever I felt like I was being hard on myself, I would hug the doll as if I would hug my inner child. Some people need a visible, you know, or a tangible. Some people can do it in their minds, just hug their inner child. But some people need a tangible thing in order to really feel that love. So that's another suggestion that I have.
And
write your inner child a love letter.
A love letter. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Write them a letter. That's a beautiful one, that is. And also telling our children, you know, our daughters and our sons, telling them from the heart, always coming from the divine feminine heart, never from the ego, just from our true self, that we love them. And as you said, it's so important to hug them. That's the most important thing, hugging and telling them you love them all the time.
And there are cultures on this world that are more open to hugging than, say, the Anglo-Saxons have been. I know some people that they never lost that ability to hug, but boy, a lot of us got that message. You're not supposed to hug. And in our family, we would hug when we would say hello and goodbye, but never anything in between. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I write a lot about the hug when the world forgot how to hug.
We're coming back to that.
I hug everybody now. Everybody I know is hugging again. Even the men, we're all hugging again. That is so wonderful.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Wow. Honestly, Sally, this has been such an important, you know, topic, the mother-daughter wound. And I really feel that we've really, you know, we really expressed so much. And our audience really so important to talk about these things. And I just want to say thank you for your divine wisdom. And where can we read and buy your book, Life is a Song of Love?
You can read more about the book at my website, embracechildspirit.org. The entire website is about the book. So there's a lot of information in there if you haven't, you know, been able to read the book and so forth. And it's also available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and some independent bookstores. Wow. And in fact, I understand that if you go to an independent bookstore, they can order it for you.
Lovely. Absolutely fantastic. Wow. Honestly, thank you for writing this important book, and thank you for, you know, teaching us, you know, about the wound, and thank you for all of your wonderful divine truth that is so needed in this world at this time, Sally. Thank you for being on the Great Awakening Show.
Yeah, and thank you, Joanne, because for being so knowledgeable and into this. I mean, it is an absolute delight to talk to somebody that understands all of this, so. Thank you so much. I enjoy being on this show. Thank you.
Lovely, lovely.